Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations, like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
All my friends on my show, like if they didn't make me better, I wouldn't have them there because I feel like the most authentic version of me is what's going to win or lose. And I just want that opportunity. All right, now time for part two of the Bobby Cast with Phil Becker. We did part one. If you missed that, check it out. I mean, this dude's so legit, so innovative. I would love to work with this guy at some point. I'd love for him to hire me or me hire him, or we hire each other and then we're confused, like the Spider-Man meme. Like, so motivating, so great if you're in media. It could be radio, it could be podcasting, it could be social media. But at Phil Becker, his podcast is Philosophy with Phil Becker. And this is him then turning it to me. It was supposed to be one episode, but I got a little carried away with the last one. So here we go. Episode 444.
Part two.
No, 443 is part one. We should make it 444.
444?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm weird about titling.
What? How about the sequel? You like movies? That's a different movie.
Yeah, it'd be part two.
No, but like the Avengers, the second one is not called the Avengers same sub part two. Okay, part one, Phil Becker, parentheses, Bobby interviews Phil.
Okay.
444, Phil Becker, Phil interviews Bobby.
Okay, there we go.
Weirdo. Mike has this movie thing where it's got to be listed just perfectly. I hope you guys enjoy this. Thank you. If you don't mind, please go and rate, subscribe, whatever you can do there. It means a lot to us. It actually helps this podcast. So thank you very much and enjoy. All right, we're back. And this is part two. I'm Bobby Bones, obviously, if you're watching this or listening to this on the Bobbycast. I'm with Phil Becker, who's a guy that I admire in media, who was one of the first people to take my radio show when we syndicated within my company, which was already a controversial thing, from outside of my company to say, hey, we want you to come on ours. And it's what opened the doors to other companies doing that. As I said in the last episode, if I could pay Phil all the money in the world, I would pay Phil all the money in the world and say, first of all, give me half of it back, like quietly.
Right.
But secondly, I just believe in how he does his strategy. And that's such a vague thing, but his strategy is have a strategy, but you can pivot it, you can move it, try to have an understanding of what people want, try to give it to them as long as that's who you are. But that's what I take from you.
Wow, that's great. You captured it pretty well.
And that's a hard, and you could say, or anybody could say, well, try to give what they want. That's fine, but that can only be temporary because eventually you run out of lines as an actor. Yeah. I tried that a bit. And back in my early days, when I tried to have a big voice, and I just get tired and I couldn't do it anymore. But I texted Phil and said, hey, I want to do 30 minutes with you, but we did an hour. I'm sorry. And I said, we can switch it and you can ask me questions if you want, but you don't have to. Maybe you have nothing to ask me. And he's like, no, that sounds great. So now I'm going to hand it over to you. The next 25 minutes will be you running the show.
All right.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I think that's fun.
It's hard for me not to have control, but go ahead.
All right. So I was thinking about the first few things that I wanted to go in with you. And I thought to myself, I've known you for a long time, but do you ever realize that, like, you're the guy now?
Yes. Occasionally. But I get afraid, and I go to therapy about this, that when I feel that, I won't have the same survival / desire, and that I will work less or less hard, or I'll be the fat king. Mm-hmm. And I think that trauma and that fear keeps me from going, I'm the freaking guy. And a bit goes, I'm the guy, but everybody else is trying to be the guy. Oh my God, I got to keep going. Mm-hmm. There is a difference. But yes, I do feel that way. But I fought it for a long time, and it's a balance between ego, because you want to be that dude. But also, I like to think that I have the perspective to know anybody I've seen be that dude and know they're that dude, they're not that dude for very long, because then you start to be that dude, and you're not challenging yourself anymore. So my answer is yes, but in the most unhealthy way.
Do you... You know, one of the things that, and I use this analogy in the first part, I think of you as a snow globe shaker, right? And you come in and you disrupt things sometimes. And you say things that are your opinion. And I remember for years, you know, you were challenging media on Casey Musgraves. You're a challenger. When you're alone and it's quiet and your phone's put away, when someone is negative or when someone is like, not understanding why you do what you do, how do you get through that? Because knowing you, you probably have about 4 hours to sleep, and then you're back at it tomorrow. How do you get through the negativity when you get it? Because I'm sure, you know, the people say don't read the comments. You see them.
Sure. It sucks sometimes. It really does. Because you feel like you work hard and you try to be honest, and sometimes... for different reasons, people are just dicks. Maybe they don't believe the same as you. Maybe they just want to troll you. Maybe they're jealous of whom you're talking about or myself. It does suck. However, I think with experience, I have learned to make it suck a little less, a little quicker. I can move on a little faster, but it still sucks. And I tell people, stay out of the comments. But that never means stay out of the comments. It means just do a little better at staying out of the comments. And stay out of, get out a little quicker. Nobody stays out of the comments. If we're creating something, we're creating it because we want people to consume whatever it is. There's also an ego to that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an egotistical human in your personal life, but there's an ego to having the thought of, I'm going to create this, and I think people should either spend their time or money on it. And then when someone insults what you've created, it hurts because you've put heart, time, emotion, skill. But what has helped me stay in the comments less is it actually keeps me from performing again at a high level. So I can look at it linear because it still hurts, but I go, if I can just get out a little quicker, I can get back to where I need to be faster, and I can continue performing at the level that I want to perform. But some people go, it doesn't bother me. It always bothers. It just bothers me less, and it's a little less intense because I've been through it so many times now that I know it doesn't last, and I also want to get back to not being sad. So, yeah, but it does blow. And I stay off our show Facebook page for the most part until I don't, mm-hmm. And it kicks me in the nuts because here are people that are following that are supposed to, like, why do you follow a show? We have a million on Facebook, a million plus followers, I don't even know. And when they're just being extremely personal and hateful, I'm like, why would you even? But then I have to remember that there are a lot of people that, for a lot of reasons, are sad, and much like a bully in eighth grade when I got the crap beat out of me, I don't really think the bully is a bad dude. I think there are bad things happening to the bully that makes the bully act and react in a certain way, and I have to boil it down to that. Or I just fight them. It's one of those things. It's either the full thing or I go hard at them, yeah. And then wish I didn't. But it just gets easier because I've been through it and realized it's not as important as I thought, used to think it was.
In all the different categories that you're in, like I was thinking about, you know, how I said my son sees you as the guy from Breaking Bobby Bones, but somebody might see you as the Dancing with the Stars guy, or the author, or the performer, or the stand-up, or the Raging Idiots tour, or the radio show. You're touching all of them. Is there one where you go, I'm okay if you don't like this version of me? Maybe the author, I'm making this up, but you know, you don't like me as this version. Mm-hmm. But man, please like me as this one.
We talked in the last episode about the 19 seconds, which is, hey, if they're hiring you to do 19 seconds as a radio, do that 19 seconds if best you can. And everything that I do comes from radio. Everything I do comes from the launch point of traditional, old school, you got to listen live radio. Still. So I've only been able to do all the other things because I was doing that 19 seconds at a level that allowed people to leave me alone while I tried other things. It wasn't that anybody was encouraging me to do other things. My bosses at iHeart early were like, hey, you have to stop touring. You're going to be exhausted. Why are you doing this? But what happened is I would tour so much, and then I wouldn't tour, and they would go, is there any way you can get back to Boston and tour again? Because we noticed. And so I would do the 19 seconds as good as I absolutely could. And then I started to go and do, you know, a little bit of music, a little bit of comedy, wrote books, had no idea what I was doing. If I had to pick one, because you can also tell who what they like you from when you see them.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
If they're 68 and they're like, I know, you watch me dance. I know for sure. If there's a female 29 to 37, maybe a little older than that now, I would say 29, 49, and she's by herself and she comes up, she's a radio / podcast listener, and usually both, because if they recognize me, there's something more than just passive listening.
Yeah.
If they've got a whole family and they all knew who I am, including the young kids, it's from American Idol.
Okay.
But the one that, I'm not, the dancing thing is, I don't really care if people know me from that. Mm. That to me was, again, anything I do ends up being controversial, but not for any reason that's actually controversial. I went to that thing, didn't know how to dance. I finished. I won. Didn't know how to dance. Like, I tried hard. I worked hard. Mm-hmm. Found a different way to win. But that was that to me was more of a metaphor for everything else, as I had to figure out a way to do it non-traditionally. They changed the rules after I left that show because they didn't want somebody doing that again. Where I actually realized 50% of the vote wasn't what everybody, I would try my hardest to get what I was supposed to get, but then I was going to go a different way. I was going to do my 19 seconds of the best I could do it. And it wasn't great, but I could do it just good enough where I knew if I went to the people, I could get it. But there's a lot of people that are negative about the situation, and probably I just wouldn't want them to know me as a dancer. But I like that I won that show because I figured out a way to win something that I wasn't supposed to, finger quotes, much like I think everybody in this room has done in a way in life. You've talked about your diagnosis, like mm-hmm. on your,
yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what you said on a post. It was a couple weeks ago, like a kid. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I think it was origin story, right?
Maybe,
so,
yeah.
So it was basically I said, if I were to tell you my origin story, it would be a kid born to a teenage mom who doesn't know his bio dad who has cerebral palsy. And I think the follow-up line to that was, the first note you play doesn't mean you can't play beautiful music.
Because the first note you play is often awesome, but can you hang in there long enough for people to go, that note's not very good, and be like, oh, check this one out.
Right.
I was moved by that because, again, everybody in this room has a story. And then the people that I surround myself with them because I think they make me better. It's a very selfish thing to do. All my friends on my show, like if they didn't make me better, I wouldn't have them there. I need to be put in a place that feels positive, and not in the corny way, but in a way where I feel that I'm free to be me, because I feel like the most authentic version of me is what's going to win or lose, and I just want that opportunity. But I don't think you would be here without, again, those three things. I don't want anybody to wish for. To be born a teen mom. Mm-hmm. I was born a teen mom. Right. Not to know their dad. I know my dad. To be born with cerebral palsy. But you've had to develop other skills. And not to make up for something, but we all have to develop in ways that we aren't, because nobody's the full 100 NBA 2K player.
Right.
You're not good at threes and dunking. You're not 100 on both. But I think that you saying that, it felt extremely personal to me, but I think it feels extremely personal to everybody, because we all feel like we're coming from that place. And we all are. And that to me is the most important part of me going after my 19 seconds, but also doing the things outside of that, that I can play that first sour note and know it ain't gonna be beautiful. But I'm going to hang in there, and I don't really have a lot of skill, but I do have tenacity, and that's something we can all build, and that's what you have built. You have like a tenacity callus, mm-hmm. which I admire.
Thank you.
So that's the answer to that. No more dancing. That's a long answer to no more dancing, no more dancing. Phil. Yes.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
What about you is misunderstood?
That I'm extremely confident. I think there are parts of me that have to seem extremely confident or no one's going to listen. And I know that. And if I don't have extreme confidence in certain areas, people aren't going to give me their attention. Now, I can develop extreme confidence through success, or I can fail and go, oh man, that is not very good. But there are times where I feel like I have to have a confidence that isn't quite there, or I'm not going to be able to move the needle at all. I am not a very confident person. I'm wildly insecure. I think anybody that does any kind of art is doing an art for a reason. For some reason, I made people like them or love them in my case, because there wasn't a lot of love when I was a kid and I had to figure out a way to get it somehow. I am not confident by nature. And I think that's probably what's most misunderstood, because people go, that dude, that's a cocky dude. or it's the exact opposite. That is a wildly insecure dude, depending on what I'm doing. And I'm both, but I'm not that. I'm not naturally confident in anything.
So if somebody says he's really confident or really cocky, it's because they aren't?
It's because they're threatened. I never get successful people that come at me at all because they're too—they're not worried about me. They're too worried about themselves or the people they're working with, trying to make them successful. That's the craziest thing. And I do get a lot of heat from industry folks, and not just for always pushing against what's the known. For some ways, just insisting that I know when I really don't. But it's, again, it's a bit of a theater when it comes to predicting. And you know, if you're a coach and you're calling a play, you freaking believe in that play. But a little bit, you're like, man, I don't know. If they fill the three gap, I'm dead. I just can't show that to my guys. I can't tell my guys that there's a... So I think that most people that come at us, you, me, anybody, it's projecting a bit. Yeah. Because if you really were killing it at what you're doing, you're not worried about somebody else doing what they're doing, unless it's hurting kids or animals.
Right.
So, yeah, if anybody has a problem with me about my confidence or my show or my... usually it's a projection, because I found myself going like, oh, I can't stand that person. And I'm like, wait, nope, I can't stand myself. That's what it is. And it took a long time for me to feel that way. And now I can have professional, healthy jealousy, which is the greatest gift I've ever given myself. And it's taken me work to get there. One of my best industry friends, he's a good friend. He was at my wedding. But Charlemagne the God in New York, that's my guy. We send each other, I'll say this, I don't care. We send each other's contracts when we're in negotiations, like the full things. I don't do that with anybody else. But you have to trust the person to do that. And like, I love him. He's been there for me in some really hard times. And he's also kicked me in the balls in really hard times for me. When I got the $1 million fine, as soon as I did it and all the stations went down, all he said was, hey, screenshot this. And then he sent me like 100 laughing emojis because he knew I was going through, it was miserable. And he's like, this isn't going to take you down. I know, but for the fine, it was just the FCC was on us. And I thought I was going to get fired. He goes, screenshot this and come back to it, because you're feeling terrible right now. And here's your perspective. Eyeball laughing, crying emojis. To have professional, healthy jealousy of him when he's like hosting the Daily Show. I'm so jealous of that. But I'm so happy for him. To where that's when I can feel the growth in me. Is that...
Would you have said that 10 years
ago? No, I wouldn't have said it 5 years ago.
Really?
Nope.
Okay.
Because I would have just been like, why am I not doing that? What's happening? What am I doing wrong? What are my people doing wrong? They can be completely mutually exclusive. They have nothing to do with each other. Because Charlemagne's doing it doesn't mean I'm not. I also love him and I'm proud for him. And that's crazy if somebody in the same industry that we all feel like we're fighting in the same pie and there's only a certain amount of pieces. But what I've learned is if you can't get into this pie, go create your own pie and do it that way. But yes, I love it. I have professional, healthy jealousy, and it is great for... I still get jealous. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to act like I'm way better than that. I'm like, God, I wish I was doing that. But to have that, and even have Ryan be real nice to me, Seacrest. Mm-hmm. Because I think when I was first put on Idol, not that he wasn't nice, but he was like, why is this dude who's basically a junior varsity version of me, right? Goofy, white. Ryan's not goofy, but I'm a little goofier. But why is he on this show? You know, when Ryan got sick and I hosted, the first time that's ever happened, and I did pretty good considering it was 20 minutes from showtime. Yeah. And there was a point when Ryan was just like, hey, how you doing with your money? He came up to me one time and I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I know now you're making a lot of money and you always weren't. It was the same for me for a while. How you doing with your money? Like, what's up? What are you trusting? What are you not trusting? What advice can I give you? And I was like, holy crap. I think Ryan a bit is developed enough and has been developed enough to go, he's not here. He's not even as good as I am. He's not going to take my job. So why don't I just be encouraging and help him out? I think Ryan showing me that too has been a big part of it as well.
Do you think that your wife has made you better?
I think my wife has made me... The answer is yes, but I just don't want to say yes because that's it. Yes, because it has given me perspective about things that aren't radio or media that has made me better at radio and media and podcasting. And it has given me life depth, even with my staff. where if something personal is up, don't even think twice about pushing yourself coming in. Don't think twice. Don't. You need to handle you so you can be your best version for me. And if you're not, you need to go back and handle you. Whomever it is on the show, I'll say person X. We've had an incident where there something wasn't happening good in their personal life. And they're like, I'm gonna show up every day. I'm like, no. Don't report it. You need a week and a half. Go take your week and a half because we're in our own little bunker here. And if you want to be the best version of you, which you obviously want to be because you're going to drag yourself in every day, I need you to go and get right. Because you can play the game injured, but you'll never fully heal. Then you're always going to be the injured player. So take a week, take 2 weeks, come back the best version of yourself. My wife is what's given me that perspective. Because usually it was just drag yourself in. Claw the ground and just get here to work because that's what I'm doing. But my wife has made me better as a person, which has made me better as a boss and a leader, which has given me life depth that I didn't have because I was just running. I was just by myself.
Yeah,
I was running and gunning and, you know. But yes, the answer is yes, but not because she like gives me some. But she's also younger than I am, 11 years, almost 12. And so she definitely puts me on to stuff too.
Right.
But that's the surface way she makes me better. But as a person, she makes me a better leader and a boss and allows me to be better creatively because of it.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the Bobbycast.
Do you ever think, hey, Charlamagne helped me, Ryan helped me. Who's in your roster of people that you think you want to help?
Anybody that I feel immediate empathy for. For example, we'll use AI Ashley when they were attacking her.
Yeah.
I did not know her. As fast as I could, I got her number and called her. And I was like, I know this is weird. I'm calling you, but what you're doing now is not going to be looked at in some such a crazy way. Stay the course. Don't feel like it's personal. It's not. And I would just relate with my experiences. So to have a lot of those experiences now as my tool belt, it's not that I was naturally gifted at things. I've just been through a bunch of crap. And I feel like that's also what I can give back. Even with Charlemagne, like, you know, the first time I sent him my contract, I was like, I thought you maybe stole my identity. I don't know. Not him, but anybody. I don't know what I was given.
Right.
But it was not so much of, well, since somebody gave to me, I need to give to them. But I feel like empathy is the greatest weapon in understanding. Anytime I use it with anybody else, it actually makes me better as well. So that could even be seen as selfish. There's a kid who got in trouble because he played the F word. He's not a kid, he's an adult. Played the F word on a station, and I won't throw him under the bus. It was an interview with, I think, maybe Luke Combs. Accidentally. Yeah. Played it. I called him. Didn't know him. Here's the deal. So you're in trouble for a minute. Don't make the minute two. This is what you do. This is how you take your lumps. If you need help talking to the lump givers, I'm here for you because I've been here and done it wrong. So I think that, and then also hiring people like this is Reed. Reed's like 12. I don't know how old he is. Reed never went to school to do what he's doing now. But when I met him, he was just so curious, and he'd already started like taking pictures and stuff. But he's good enough that if the opportunity is there, I want to allow him to be great. And so I want to kind of bet on him and challenge him and reward him in a way that I don't think I was. And so, and Reed's just an example. But I think I look for that as well. Like people that aren't traditionally coming into a place where they've been traditionally trained, but they really want to do it. Cause to me, that's all that matters. Like, are you so curious and do you want to learn how to do it? And do you want to be awesome? And I'm going to be awesome to you, hopefully. And in exchange, it's going to be an awesome relationship. That's kind of how I feel.
Have you told him that before?
Yeah, I think so, right? Mm-hmm. I try to be more even communicative. Mm-hmm. My wife has made all this real, but this makes me better. Where I'm like, dude, this is great. You're killing it here. I'm so proud that you did this. And I know he was super curious. He just wanted to get better. So I was like, hey, I'll put you in school. Let me pay for you to go and learn this if you really want it. That's what he did. He went and learned. So, but I wouldn't have done that had he not had like the initiative. And there are times he'd screw up taking risks. But there were also times he would take huge risks and it would be so much better than I would ever have even thought it was. And to me, that's where it was. So to answer that question, I think that's what I'm trying to get better at is find folks that want to do it that maybe haven't traditionally had the education to do it, whatever that means, and go, let me help you. Because if you want to do it, you're going to be great at it. Because the only reason I'm good at anything is because I want to do it and I got better at it because I wanted to do it. And now we're rocking.
Last question goes back to the first question. First question again was, do you realize you're the guy? Like you're at the table, right? Looking back at the whole journey, you get one mulligan, one do-over.
Yeah.
Which one do you take?
That is the easiest question.
Oh, man, I went out soft.
No, you didn't go out soft because I believe that every mistake that I've made, I've learned something from, except for, and we're talking professionally. Because mm-hmm. I have a personal one too, but we're talking professionally. And I do realize that I'm the guy, but I also realize the guy comes and goes quick. There's never been a guy that just stays the guy forever. It doesn't matter who you are, the guy, whatever that means. To the point where I got in a little trouble with my company when I did this, but I went and hired two people that didn't know each other, didn't know what was up. And I said, hey, I want you to listen to my show for a week. I'm going to pay you. And I want you to talking to each one of them individually. I want you to write a report on how you would beat me. I want you to find every weakness. If you were launching a show against me in the same town, the other one to the other one, I said, if you're launching a syndicated show against me, I want you to, somebody that I respected, I said, I want you to beat me. I want you to tell me what kind of person you would get, what the show would be, where you would target my vulnerabilities, because we all have them, and please, I'm going to hire you to beat me. And my company heard about it, and they got upset, and I just don't think they knew what I was doing, because in the corporate world, you have so many things going in your, from all directions too. But it wasn't pleasant for me for a little bit. They're like, why are you hiring people? We have research. I said, yes, and that is an excellent tool for things, for what you want the research. But the research is only, it's like Ford when they're asking about, if you would have let people decide, they would have just made a better horse instead of a car. A lot of the research we do is how to make what we're already doing better instead of what can we do that isn't like what we're already doing that I'm missing on. And so that's why I hired these people. And it hurt to read, but it was supposed to, right? When it hurts to grow, it's awesome to be grown. But you're growing physically, you're 12, it hurts. And so I understand that the guy doesn't live a long life. What does happen is, after you're the guy, you're not the guy anymore, it was kind of cool being the guy back in the day, and hopefully the next guy is somewhat influenced by you. And the professional statement would be, oh, that's Eddie, that's the other guy. Why'd you come in that door where it's like the beeper? We're in the middle of like a serious conversation here. That's the guy right there. That's the guy. So, but my answer to that would be professionally, it was such a, the EAS tone that cost me, which was going to be $6 million, $1 million, was not in any way even a mess up on my part, because I got it from took it off the internet from like an audio site. Mm-hmm. It just turns out that tone wasn't cleared by the FCC. They hadn't fully fixed their business, so we got punished. I just wouldn't hit it. The bit wasn't even that big or good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's do, there was a baseball game, and they played an EAS tone when there was like a home run in the World Series. And I was like, how crazy would it be in other life events if this happened? I didn't think about the bit. It wasn't something I even wore. And I was like, that's one small step. I was just saying, what if other events had been cut off by that? It was 30 seconds. I would go back and go, not worth it, not worth the trouble, not worth anything. That's my big regret professionally. Also, I think I probably at times, there was a CEO from a certain company that when I was coming to Nashville, he was like, hey, that's not going to work. You're not going to thrive there. And when you don't thrive, you can come work for me in Tampa. And I was a bit insulted by that, but I think negatively, and I think that create a little bull in a china shop in a way that I wish maybe wouldn't have been so china shoppy. I'd like to be a bull in an arena more than a china shop. So I regret kind of how I handled that, but I think at least I learned from that.
You have this way about you where you're motivated by truth and doubt.
Oh, yeah, fear.
Right.
Like yeah.
When you said to them, I want you to beat me up and grade me, you were looking for the trainer screaming at you, telling you, you're weak, you can't lift this.
But only because I wanted to get better.
Only because you wanted to get better.
Yeah.
Same thing with this guy. So I think that your fuel is actually generated by you. And I think a lot of times people expect other people to generate their inertia. And you're doing it yourself, which I think is awesome.
Which is awesome and also sucks. Equal.
Yeah.
Because I'll end on this, and I think it's even unfair to somebody like Morgan, number one, who has been with me forever. Like, she's here, and she's professionally the most consistent thing that I've had. I was speaking at a college, and she was in the class. And I was like, who wants to intern? And she's like, I do. And so she interned and then showed a lot of initiative. I was like, well, I got to get you on somehow. She was like my assistant for a little bit. We're just trying to find ways. AutoZone. We were AutoZoning it, like you mentioned in the first one.
Yeah.
Then she became executive producer of the show, the radio show, climbing up to assistant producer. Then she went over to my management side and was managing. She still does and then now she's head of the president of the podcast network. But sometimes I will be like, hey, I'm working so hard. Why are you guys not running up beside me? But I've created that culture of doing everything myself and then sometimes being like, hey, why aren't you doing it? So it's definitely a bit on both ends. It's awesome because I do control it. I do invest a lot in it. But sometimes it's negative because I have disappointment in people that I shouldn't have because they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the showbiz baby, as they say. That's how we end every podcast, except not one time have we ever ended it like that. And Eddie threw us off by coming in beeping the dang alarm.
Sorry.
Did I not say come in the wood door? I've been doing an hour and a half podcast. What the F, man? Phil, thank you, man. You are awesome. And my dream scenario is one day you just tell me either what to do or why you think I'm doing is not the way to do it. Because I think you are, I've told my CFO and CEO many times, if this guy's ever open, we have to hire him immediately.
Thank you.
And if anything, that should get you a raise when your next deal comes up at Alpha. But I'm a big fan of Alpha Media too, because you've taken a risk on me and your stations there. Yeah. So I know you have to fly home and see your wife and kids and stuff. But thank you very much for being and doing this deal with me.
Thank you.
You guys go. Philosophy is this podcast at Phil Becker Media. And that is all. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.